Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning. 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Sean is here. Janet is here. We're talking Chamber of Commerce today on this show. How are you guys? You doing all right?
Doing awesome.
Yeah?
It's a beautiful day out
Life
there
is
today.
Good, yeah. I feel like we just had our pathway folks talking about blood pressure, and I was like, we should continue talking about blood pressure. But then I thought, well, what do the Chamber of Commerce people know about blood? What do you know about blood pressure, Janet?
You don't want it too high.
Number one killer in America is heart disease, and heart disease often is caused by hypertension, high blood pressure, right? So there's that. But now we know, right?
I mean, what I know is that mine's high enough. And that my doctor tells me more exercise.
One of the things they were saying is that when you get older, it's harder for your heart to push the blood through the vessel. So you actually want, when you're older, like me, not like you guys, but when you're older like me, you want your blood pressure to be 120, 130, the top number, maybe even close to 140. If it's over 140, that's too much. But
okay,
up to 140, you're okay. So
I think I'm in that 130 range. 51 okay. years old.
51, okay.
Are you telling me I'm safe?
No, I think you're good, yeah.
Okay.
As long as you're not over 140, I think you're good.
Okay, yeah, good.
So I'm not a doctor, though, and I cannot be held liable for any doctor
you're
advice.
Not held liable. I have a medical professional involved.
that's probably actually a really good idea. Don't listen to some stupid radio guy. So how are things going to the chamber? You guys have all kinds of cool stuff going on. I saw an email yesterday. You guys are tailgating at Utah Tech games. Tell us about that.
We are. So we're the official sponsor of Utah Tech football tailgate.
Nice.
And we worked that out with the folks at the radio station over there and with Utah Tech. And we actually had, and I use the word had past tense, seven booth spots at the tailgate for chamber members. And I sent that email out last night, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And within 30 minutes, we had zero booth spots.
Oh, wow.
Left. It was crazy.
Wow. That must be the good work that Jana put in to get that done, right, Jana?
Oh.
No.
It was actually Edelyn, and
okay.
She crushed it. She did a great job. Within 30 seconds, she had a spreadsheet. She was tracking it.
Wow.
She nailed it.
So what kind of booths are we talking about?
So this is just 10x10 booth where you bring a tent and set up your table, and we're highly encouraging our chamber members to have a very interactive booth. So this isn't like come by, collect some literature. Think about you got college students. They want to come by. They want to get some swag.
Free
they want
stuff.
To have some fun.
Free stuff.
We're encouraging them to have games, have lots of giveaways. And this is more of a branding effort than showing up and selling your goods and services. Now, that doesn't mean they can't sell their goods and services. It's just,
right.
You got to imagine, this is a tailgate. So if you have food, you're going to be in good shape, right?
So I went to a BYU game last year. They had a whole row of booths like that. Some of them, most of them gave stuff away. Some of them had interactive games, spin a wheel or throw a football or whatever. And none of them were selling anything on that side of the thing. They all just, like you said, brand awareness. They wanted people to know. Sounds like that's what you're after.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have, well, we're still working on the details of it, but we're hoping to have Utah Mobile Advertising have their big truck there,
the one
that drives around with the LED on it.
Yeah.
And they're going to show the pregame show. And we're working on our sponsor for that. And so they'll show the pregame show, and we'll get everybody geared up. And then about anywhere from 30 to 15 minutes before the game, we'll close things down and let people head in the game. So we have a couple tickets for each of our vendors that are with us. And
nice.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to getting into Utah Tech football this year.
Now, when you say the word tailgate, of course, you have the booths and you have the fun and the games and everything. But I always think about, barbecue and
mm-hmm.
food on the Barbie and the treats and sitting around in lawn chairs drinking the cold one and stuff. Is there going to be some of that going on?
I would imagine there is going to be plenty of food. And even one of our vendors reached out, a chamber member that has a food truck that wants to bring his food truck there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he'd be a tremendous fit. And so Utah Tech's been incredible to work with on this. And they're open to any ideas that we're bringing to the table. And it's been fantastic. So we're going to have a ball with it. You need to come and swing by and have some fun. That's going to start at the end of the month.
I was going to say, the first game is a week from Saturday.
Yes, it is.
Where Utah Tech takes on, well, their first game is not going to be an easy one. The Division 1AA or FCS powerhouse Montana State will be coming to town. So.
Yeah. So that ought to be a lot of fun. We'll get a good look at our football team right out of the gate.
They'll be underdogs in this game one, but I tell you what, if they manage to hang in the game or even upset Montana State, how awesome would that be? You know?
Yeah, that would be incredible. It would be a great way to start the season.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right, so, yeah, that's a week from Saturday. I don't do no game time and tailgate time and all that stuff.
Game time's 8 p.m. for that first game.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and tailgate
good idea
start
because
at
it's
6.
Hot.
Yeah, so tailgate starts at 6 p.m., game time at 8 p.m. Like I say, we'll button things up around 7:30, 7:45, and folks can head into
Send
the game.
Send people in, yeah.
Get ready to have some fun. But, yeah, I think we have – honestly, I think we're – the precipice of something really great with Utah Tech. They're in Division I football. They are putting together a great team. They're getting better and better each year. Great coaching, great management that's overseeing all of that. And I, you know what our feeling is that we jumped in to be the tailgate sponsor to kick things off, and there'd be nothing better than them being able to bring in a bigger and better sponsor than the Chamber down the road as things blossom and that tailgate becomes just a huge activity. But I think we are in the right market and the right place to do it. And we get to do it the St. George way, right? It doesn't have to be the tailgate that you see across the nation. We get to develop this ourselves. And so we're really excited about that.
Okay. Now, Sean, are you a did you play football? Are you a football guy? I mean, if I were to give you a quiz of 10 football questions, how would you do?
So I'd probably do pretty decent on the quiz.
Okay,
I played football 1 year, my freshman year.
Okay.
Everybody grew. I did not. I showed up my sophomore year. It was pretty brutal that first week of practice, and I thought I'll go to cross country. I think build more.
Nothing wrong with that.
It was conducive with running than getting hits or doing the hitting. So,
us Griffins are late bloomers. My son played football at Pineview, but the year after he graduated, between his mission and when he graduated high school, he grew like 4 inches and 80 pounds or something. And the coach saw him and couldn't believe. He's like, why couldn't you get this when you were in high school? Like, I'm sorry, that's just the way it happened. I was the same way. I got my biggest growth spurts after high school. But
that's crazy.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. And I see these kids out on the football field, and I'm like, there's no way that's a high school kid. I mean, these are massive individuals. It's awesome.
I like to tell a story. It's a true story. When I was in high school, my freshman year, I went to Bingham High School. Big, gigantic. So 4,000 students. I mean, it was monstrous. And then they made a new school that between my freshman and sophomore year, it opened up West Jordan High School. Well, they let everybody that was going to be a junior or a senior, including all the football players, could stay at Bingham if they wanted to. And everybody, sophomore or younger, had to go over to the new school. So the good thing was, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was starting offense and defense. I was starting both ways. The bad news is, I was 14, 15 years old, and I'm playing these guys who have full beards, and, you know, and half of them are losing their hair. I'm like, what's going on here? These guys are twice my age. They were only a year or two older than me, but they felt like it because they were so much bigger and stronger. So
yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think you probably handled a little better than I did at that age. I seriously made it through like a week of practice, and I'm like, yep, this isn't going
to
work.
Well, I'm ashamed to say, we did not win a game that first year. In fact, we didn't score a single point the entire season that first year. All the sophomores playing against all these juniors and seniors, so we didn't score once.
Well, that's not shocking, right? But what a great experience on it.
Well, in the second year when we scored our first touchdown, you'd have thought we won the national championship when we finally scored. I'll never forget that moment.
That's awesome.
And then we made the playoffs my senior year. So.
Oh, that's incredible.
So we got better each year. That's cool. So, all right, what else is going on with Chamber of Commerce right now?
Well, we are gearing up for our RISE conference. So the RISE Business Summit, it's the largest event we put on each year. We hold it over the Dixie Convention Center. We bring in anywhere between 500 and 600 individuals. We're down to final tickets right now. You can get those at risestg.com, RISESTG.com.
Okay.
$99 for chamber members, $130 for non-chamber members, but we just want everybody and anybody there who wants to learn how to run their business better and feel inspired.
Tell us about some of the things, some of the presenters, some of the things that we will be able to learn at the Rise Summit.
So if you like motivational speakers, we're kicking off with one that's Justin Prince. He's very well known. We had him close out our summit last year, and we're going to have him open it up this year. He rave reviews. People absolutely love him. He's inspiring. He's motivational. He's intelligent. He knows business. And so he's a perfect fit to kick us off. And we're going to have, he's going to be there. Greg Robison from Ram Company is going to be talking to us
about. Amazing story, Ram Company, yeah.
Absolutely.
Ram Corporation, yeah.
And Greg's story himself is a pretty incredible story. He has a lot of gratitude toward Ram bringing him back to Southern Utah. He grew up here, and now he's back as CEO of Ram. And he's had a pretty rough year, and we're going to hear about that. On the personal side, Ram's growing exponentially, and he's going to talk about how you balance adversity in your personal life against growing and accelerating companies. So we hope we have something for everybody there. We've got Michelle Smith. She's the president of sports and entertainment for Larry H. Miller Company.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be talking about how you use data to make correct decisions, and you couple those together with your gut feeling and be able to make the investments you need to grow a company. I think we've seen Larry H. Miller Company change an incredible amount over the last decade. They divested of the Jazz. They left the automobile industry, and now they're all
still
in.
Still doing movies.
Yeah, but they're all in on luxury entertainment. They're investing heavily in Southern Utah. She's going to talk all about that.
The Larry H. Miller Company, of course, Larry H. Miller himself passed away a few years ago, but they've been so successful and really almost maybe the headliners of Utah. If you say, hey, who's the biggest mover shaker in Utah, Gail Miller and the Larry H. Miller Group, they're top of the list, right?
And Jana had an opportunity to meet Gail recently through the Women's Leadership Institute.
Yeah, she was an absolutely amazing speaker. She talked about how, her whole relationship with Larry ran the business and she ran the family, and they were two distinct, separate entities. And then eventually they worked through that and they were much more involved in both. And then when he passed away and she took over, she's like, I don't know how to do business. This isn't my experience. And she's just learned on the fly, and it's the biggest it's ever been. She's grown that company exponentially since she's taken over, and it's pretty amazing.
I think I did a story on this a few months ago. I think she's worth something like $1.something billion.
Yeah.
Gail Miller. So that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's not right up there with, you know, the Facebook guy and Elon Musk and those guys, but it's in the neighborhood at least. A lot closer than you and I will ever be.
Yeah, amen to that.
So, all right, tell us a little bit about the format. First of all, the date again on the Rise Summit?
So that's September 5th.
September 5th, we're getting close. It's just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, just 2 weeks away.
And what, tell us about the format. Is it, what's the timing, and then what's the breakout and stuff like that?
Yeah, so at 7 in the morning, registration starts. Okay. Breakfast and get settled in and visit the exhibitors that we have there. And then at 8 a.m., we actually kick off, and we'll have main stage speakers. Then we'll break and go to master classes, and then lunch comes in, and we have main stage speakers again through the afternoon. We close up about 2 o'clock.
We also have exhibitors all day. So we've got some pretty awesome booths this year.
Awesome booths, awesome food. I mean, you've got Heritage Canyon over at Dixie Center that's going to serve us up fantastic food, but we've also brought in vendors like FS Coffee, Nothing Bundt Cakes.
Berries and Cream. Donut Envy.
Yeah. Now you're making me hungry. Stop it.
I know. Seriously, right? But all of them are going to have free samples that they'll be giving out. And we're very focused on making sure that our attendees have an opportunity to visit with our exhibitors, and it's a value add for all of them. So we'll have raffles throughout the day. You get your raffle tickets from the exhibitors. We've got some software called Got You that we're going to be using.
Got You, that sounds bad.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It does, but it's not actually gamified software. I wouldn't call it gamified. It's actually software that rewards you for sharing your data. And what I mean by that is as I visit an exhibitor booth, I can check in at the booth, and I will get money that I can then spend in store with any of the people that are on Got You. Nice. And then the exhibitor, they get you know, my contact information so they reach out and keep the conversation going. So
how do you balance? I was always curious about this. You have these, you call them master classes, these breakout classes. And I've been fortunate to be involved with Rise Summit and attend these classes. Some classes are jam packed full and you go in another class and there's only 8 or 10 people and you're like, well, so how do you decide who you're going to get? Is it based on past performance? Is it based on word of mouth? What is it, Sean?
All of the above.
Yeah?
So we have Greg Gray coming back. He's the guy that you were probably standing room only in his master class. And Greg's not from here. He comes from the Carolinas, and we fly him out each year.
I actually had him on my show once.
Yes, you did. Yeah. So Greg's just fantastic, and people love him, and he brings new material every year. And so we'll keep bringing him back as long as our attendees are excited, and that's been the case. With the others, we get feedback every year after Rise, and then we take that feedback and try to decide what we're going to do for the upcoming year. So we've got a live podcast that's going to be done during our master classes, actually 2 live podcasts. We have, that's Rob McFarland's going to be doing that, or Robert McFarland, he prefers to be called Robert. We're going to have Chris Healy from Utah Tech University. She's an HR guru, a professor.
Used to be a neighbor of hers back in the day. She's a very, very smart woman.
Yeah, for sure. So she's going to be teaching a class on culture and how you use accountability to drive the right culture. So we try to choose people who have pertinent information that's going to help our businesses, who are also great presenters.
That are also local to St. George as well. That's a big feedback that we've gotten. Northern Utah is a completely different market and a completely different beast than Southern Utah.
So we really
try to keep everything as local as possible.
Now, Sean and Jana, this is a big event, obviously almost like a centerpiece event for the Chamber of Commerce. This is a huge thing. I know there's a lot of stress leading up to it, but when the event actually happens, what are you guys doing at the event? Are you able to finally relax knowing, okay, it's happening and there's nothing I can do about it now? Or is it still stressful until it's over?
It's like a quarter less stressful once it gets going because it's just dealing with things as they come up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not over until it's over.
So a huge focus of ours at the Chamber has been customer service.
Sure.
And I think a lot of companies say that. We try to live it in everything we do. So when we're at the conference and the conference kicks off, we are running around visiting with exhibitors. Hey, have people been stopping by? What's your initial feedback? We're making sure that all the attendees are finding what they need and that their needs are taken care of. We work super hard that day, and I think our favorite part of the day comes at about 3:30 when we drop everything off in the chamber and head home.
No,
we do love seeing everybody, but we work our tails off that day because that event is not for us. It's for our attendees.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we are there to make sure that they have an incredible time and that their money is money well spent.
I'm curious about the age effect now. If I own a business and I'm 58, or I'm 51 like you, or I'm 18 like Jana here.
Yeah.
Okay, she's probably a little older than that. But is there an age focus? Or is it for business owners? Is it for, you know, a manager of a company? What's your target?
So, interestingly enough, of all the events that we do, this is the one that we get the most CEOs, founders, owners out to.
The big guns, okay.
Yeah, because we're trying to put out information and content that's going to be applicable to them. And it's anybody in business, whether you own a business, you work at a business, you're thinking of starting a business,
mm-hmm.
that is who we're focused on. If you were to ask Meta, who we're advertising to, it's people between the ages of 25 and 65 plus, right?
Okay.
And
I fit in there.
Exactly. But what we're looking for is people who are looking to take their career to the next level. And whether they're an owner or an employee, it's got information for everybody.
Do you have a forum or a venue where you can get some of the success stories from the Rise Summit? Some people that have said, you know, I went to Rise and I got this idea and it's helped my business immensely, or is it just kind of a word of mouth thing?
We're going to have to develop that.
Look at that, great marketing ideas. I come here for a radio segment.
I leave with good marketing ideas.
I think success stories would be a real boon, though. I think, you know, people would say, because I know when I've gone to Rise, it's a couple of years now I've gone to Rise, maybe more than that. I don't know how long it's been around.
I think if we were in our fourth year.
Yeah, I think I've been to all of them, but I know every time I go, I'm like, you know, I never thought about it that way. That's a good idea. And then I try to implement whatever that idea might be into what I do. So
well, that's awesome. Jenna will tell you about the last thing we got going on. We have a lunch today.
Yep. We do. We've got Michelle Graves with St. George City coming today to the chamber. We are getting a preview of this year's marathon. So they kind of give us a rundown of how the event will go, how many runners, what's going to be shut down, just to prepare businesses. And it gives them a chance to capitalize on the marathon and how to utilize that and take advantage of that opportunity.
We found out today, Stockton and News Report today, the marathon and the half marathon are already filled. They're sold out.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, people, they said that maybe the fastest they've ever been filled, but it's crazy how people just love this event. And
yeah.
I know I have the opportunity. I've had the opportunity every year now. I go over there at about 5 o'clock in the morning and set up a little radio call, and we do live on the air on ESPN radio. We're talking about the marathon the whole time.
I love that.
So it's fun.
And they just follow you as you run the marathon?
Well, no. I sit and watch them come across the finish line. We'll get the men's winner and the women's winner across the line. And
love
it. It's pretty cool. And Aaron Mettler, you know, will be involved in hopefully winning it or being close to the front.
Yep. He'll be at the chamber today talking all about it. So
very cool. So Michelle and Aaron will be there today. And where's it at and what time? And
it's at the chamber, 11:30 to 1.
Okay.
And $20 tickets. And we just want people there and there to support. And we're down to our final people coming in on that. So
it's getting close, yeah. Well, you guys, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. Jana, good to see you as
always. Thanks for having us.
Sean, it's not bad seeing you as well.
It's a lot better seeing Jana.
You're only 7 years younger than me, but you look like you're about 17 years younger than me. So congratulations on that. You got the Dick Clark thing going.
Yeah. There we go.
Plus you shave off all the gray, right?
That's so exactly right.
All right, thanks you guys. Sure, good to talk to you today.
Thanks, Andy.
All right,
bye-bye. Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, 937 on KDXU. David Romer is with me from Modern Warriors. He is a modern warrior. Yeah. What's up, Dave? How you doing?
Good. Glad to be back. It's been a while.
It's been a little while. I'm glad you're here. One of the hot topics right now is guardians in schools. And for those that didn't hear our program last week with Steve Dunham from the school district, he said the school district is working closely with the sheriff's office to make sure that we have guardians in school. What's a guardian in a school? Dave, it's basically they want a trained and highly trained people, mm-hmm. either employees already of the school, whether it's a custodian or a secretary or a lunch lady or whatever, or a volunteer from the community to help guard our schools, guardians. And they'll be armed, they'll be well-trained, and that's one of the things Steve was saying. He says it's very, very important that these are well-trained people. We don't want to just throw someone in there.
Right. Definitely not a willy-nilly kind of deal. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? I know that the naysayers will say, oh, we don't want more guns in our schools. That means more violence. But, there's always naysayers.
Always going to be. Yeah, you're never going to make everyone happy or gross what you do. Let's be real about that. But to me, I mean, big shocker here. I'm a fan of this.
Yeah.
Well, I know that's surprising considering my background. But,
I was telling you that I really, when I posted it on St. George Word of Mouth, I expected some negative. Maybe not as many negative as positive, but I expected quite a few negative. 99% of them were people like, yeah, this is great. Let's do this.
Right. And I think a lot of people, including people that traditionally have not been big fans of guns in general, a lot of people have come around over the last 4 years or so, seeing a bunch of the weirdness going on in the world and all the riots and stuff around COVID time, kind of helps support that. And it made a little more realization that, hey, even in a city, response time is a thing, and it also might not be there depending on what madness is going on. So Uvalde's been, you know, the big talking point, the big push with Utah on pushing this legislation too, seeing what happened there and how long it took for law enforcement to get in the school and start doing anything. But that's a big factor, and response time is a real thing. That's why a lot of civilians here conceal carry. It's not because we don't trust the cops or think they can't do their job. It's that we can't have a cop on my hip all the time, right? He's not always with me. So there's going to be a period there where no one's there if you're relying solely on law enforcement. And this kind of bridges that gap in that there's always someone there. Yes, I still, even with this legislation, even with everyone pushing the guardian thing, I think we all agree The law enforcement is still the primary objective here. Like, you're trying to create a standoff, create a time, if necessary, in order for them to come and do something.
Yeah.
If you're not able to stop them full force right away, I mean, that's the goal. But if you can't, at least keep everyone protected until the cops can get there. And I think there's a lot of value to that. I've been reading up on it, too. It looks like, I mean, the sheriff's departments are responsible for all the training for all the various counties and everything. But it's been refreshing to me to see at least Washington County. They've been coming out and pretty openly stating they're trying to exceed the requirement as far as the training requirements that they have to do, which is very refreshing. Like you said, you don't want, you know, semi-trained or mediocre trained people. These are kids, right?
Yeah.
And you have a crowded environment where there's going to be innocent bystanders by definition. You do need good training. So it's exciting to see that they are kind of tackling this head on and being very motivated to exceed what's required for training.
Now you're a guy who believes in training. You've been trained yourself. Tell me though, when we think training, first thing that comes, they're out of the firing range working on their shot. That's not necessarily really what we're talking about, is it?
Right. I would look at that as actual firing the weapon. That's fundamentals, right? That's your base level of training, in my opinion. It's important to do. Don't brush it off. Obviously, everyone needs to be doing that if you're going to be carrying a gun. But your scenario based training, your decision making, creating that mindset. Those are the things that push you above just kind of an entry level shooter or gunfighter or whatever you want your scenario is. There's really cool programs out there. I'm pretty sure the Sheriff's Department has them. But I mean, you can do scenario based training where you have all these things. You have to actually identify weapons, identify threats. You're going to have innocent bystanders. You're going to have people doing stuff that are innocents that look like they're threats initially. And it's good for training. And we used to do this all the time in the shoot houses for close quarter battle. You're rolling through and you're going to have, you know, scenarios with people and they're holding stuff, pointing stuff at you, look like guns. But if you look closely, it's like, no, that's their cell phone.
Yeah.
Right. And so identifying the hands, seeing what's in there, those are crucial elements. The group I was with, we were coordinated for sensitive site recapture was one of our primary fortes. By definition, that means there's probably friendlies in there, right? Could be hostages, might not, they might be hiding, but there's probably friendlies. You're not just rolling in, throwing frag grenades, and blowing everyone away and calling, oh, well, right, it's clear. Not acceptable, right?
Got two or three innocents.
Right,
so
that's not acceptable. You got to roll through, and you have to be able to target identify before you do anything. And that's a big deal when you're talking about CQB. That's a huge deal because it's not like you have reaction time, right? You're not identifying someone at 400 yards, pulling binoculars out and going, ooh, are they friendlies? Are they threats? What are they? And then let's coordinate a plan. No, you come around a corner, they're right there. You have a split second to make that decision. You need to be able to identify those hands, see what's going on, and make a smart decision. And that's why that training is just so important. That's not something you're going to do overnight. You got to spend some time.
What about the psychological aspect? You know, in the military, there are men and women who have been exposed to some pretty tough stuff,
especially
if you've been in any kind of war zone, or say you're in Afghanistan or Iraq, and some of them sadly have been scarred from that kind of stuff. Is that something we need to be aware of and worried about when we're talking about guardians? Is getting someone who has a little bit of history and maybe has a little bit of the PTSD, do you think?
I mean, they're doing psychological screening as part of this process,
right?
Which will help with identifying that on the front end before something can happen, for sure. There are people who have had that kind of scarring, whether it's from military law enforcement or maybe just abusive family members or something. It doesn't have to be combat related. That's a real thing, and that's part of the psychological screening, which is good. They should be doing that on the front end.
Agreed.
That being said, I mean, it's just because you've had trauma does not mean you're not capable.
Right. Shouldn't rule
them out. Even people have had really bad combat trauma and have a lot of issues. That doesn't mean that they're not combat effective if need be. It might be mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. And so this, I say that because there's going to be this thought process and that's going to happen that, oh, well, they've been in combat. They've been seeing a therapist, so therefore they can't be doing this. And that's not necessarily true. It could be true. I'm not saying that's not a possibility, but it goes a lot deeper than that, right? Agreed. It's not just surface level identification here, and there are trained professionals for that for obvious reasons. But experience plays a role. If you have people that have experience, as long as it's not prohibitive, that can be a good thing. But
I had a friend of mine, as an example of what you're talking about, a friend of mine spent a year and a half in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. He saw some things that you can't unsee, and things happened to him. And yet, I would trust this guy with my life. I would love to have him as my sixth, trusting my, having my back and saying, you know what, if I need to stay alive, I want this guy with me. I would. And I'm sure he has some emotional scarring. And in fact, he is very hesitant to talk about some of the stuff he saw, understandably so.
Right, which is a common thing, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to respond to stressors and experiences in a different way, right? We're not robots. Everyone responds to things differently. Some do better with those things than others. And even though you're talking about a combative environment, a war zone, whatever, there are also different experiences within that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're rolling through and it's, you may have had to kill multiple people, but hey, it was pretty obvious these were all bad dudes.
Yeah.
The flip side is, hey, maybe you rolled in, you were killing some threats, and then you're doing your battle damage assessment look, and it's like, man, there are a couple of civilians in there. That's going to hit you different, right? And both of those, it's not that you're reckless, necessarily. I mean, this is a war zone. That kind of stuff does happen. But that's a different experience in the same zone, in the same type of scenarios, right? And that is going to treat you different. And so, yeah, there's a wide range of possible inputs, if you will, on that. And then everyone's going to respond to those various inputs differently.
A couple of things. If you have questions about the Guardian program, a couple of things worth mentioning. These, we're not going to have guys with AKs walking around the schools.
No.
It's intended for the students to not know who is the Guardian.
Correct. And if I read correctly, it's actually a misdemeanor to reveal.
Really?
The identities of any of the Guardians. They vary, for obvious reasons, they want it to be a secret. Obviously, if everyone knows who the Guardians are at all the schools, if somebody wants to perpetrate something, it's cool. I'm going to go walk around and find them and then take them out.
Yeah.
Which kind of defeats the purpose. So, very important that it is concealed. It's not going to be overt. You're not going to have guns in all the kids' faces all day. Like, that's not the point, and that's not how that's intended to roll or even allowed to roll, which is also good, right? You don't want them feeling like they're in a prison or something like that. Like, oh, guards everywhere and all that kind of junk.
And you and I both found out, too, that in doing our research, that Washington County is not, they're not going, we're going to let this happen to us. They're going, all right, this is happening. We're going to do something, but we're going to be ready. We're going to be over-prepared,
which is an excellent thing. Yeah. Look, reading up on some of it, too, it looks like there's a lot of counties that are very concerned, very stressed about it and how they're going to implement it and how they're going to find people.
Yeah.
It looked like Washington County was about the only one that was looking around going, hey, we've got maybe a dozen spots left to fill.
Yeah.
We've already taken care of all that. We've already found our volunteers. Yeah. We're ready to go. And training plans being developed. So, which is refreshing.
Let's get a commercial break in. I want to right now, if you want a ticket to go see Beauty and the Beast out in Hurricane at the Hurricane Fine Arts Center, I've got a couple of tickets for you right now. Stockton will take your call, 673-5890. Tickets to go see Beauty and the Beast out at the Hurricane Fine Arts Center in Hurricane. Again, 673-5890. More with Dave Romer when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:51 on KDXU. Got Dave with me, Dave Romer from Modern Warriors. David, how are you, man?
Doing well.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. So have you ever gone to a movie, pretty complicated movie, some kind of action movie with a lot going on, and you've gone in half, maybe you walked in the room and they're watching a video halfway through and you're kind of like, I'm not sure what's going on. Now, who's that and how does that? Sometimes I think in the firearms business, I feel like, and a lot of people that are not really expert in firearms walk into a place like Modern Warriors, and they feel like they walked in halfway through a movie because you guys are using words and terms that we don't understand yet.
Right.
What do you guys do over there at Modern Warriors to try to help the newbies, the beginners, the ones that are still learning.
Right. Yeah. We try to use a little more common terminology and colloquialisms, and we're not going to jump down your throat if you know.
Right. I didn't mean to imply that.
But yeah, it is easy to do, right? I mean, this is what we do every day. This is what we're dealing with. Sure. And it's easy to kind of revert into your language, if you will.
Yeah.
When you start talking about some of that and start throwing out acronyms and all that. And, we try to, like me personally, the best way for me to do it is just use experience. But for me personally, I try to give all of my attention to whoever I'm working with. I'll stay with you as long as we need. But I encourage you to tell me to shut up or slow down or rephrase something. if I say moving too fast or I say something you don't understand, like, you're not going to hurt my feelings by all means. I mean, especially with the military side too, there's all those acronyms too. And so sometimes those slip out when I'm not intending to use that. And it's like, hey, reminder, I don't know what you're talking about. You're right. You were not born knowing this. Neither was I, but
I was under the Marines.
Let me back this up a little bit. Yeah. We can go back over. But yeah, we're very patient. We're used to dealing with all sorts of levels of people with firearms, and like I said, I like to spend time with people.
So part of your job is to gauge that customer, that person, on how much knowledge they do have, so that you can speak more in their language.
Correct.
You're not trying to be prejudiced against them or anything like that. You're just trying to say, okay, I need to figure out where you're at so I can help.
Correct.
You.
Tailor what kind of information is going to be relevant to you, and what types of platforms and level we're working with. Like you said, that's not a prejudice deal. It's trying to find the best fit for you in whatever we're talking about, whether it's long guns, handguns, whatever. But yeah, I mean, if you never shot a gun before, things might be a little different than, hey, I mean, I've been shooting for most of my life, and I've got this and that, and I want to get something nicer, right? Those are two different discussions.
Yeah.
Neither one's wrong. Neither one's bad. Neither one's worse. Even it's just a matter of just a different discussion, right?
Mm.
So finding which one you're in and kind of going that route. Obviously, the more you know about something, the more in depth we can talk about things. And so some of that can come out, but yeah, like I said, if you're in there and any of us, not just myself, any of us start saying something and you're like, man, I have no clue what this guy's talking about, please don't be shy. Just say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Please slow down and back up.
Yeah.
We're not going to be offended. We're not going to be angry. We'll be happy to help you. So,
all right. So say I'm sitting listening to the Andy Griffin Show, and I'm hearing about, some of the dangers in this world and maybe even the Guardian program. And I say, I want to go over to Modern Warriors. I walk in. I don't know pretty much anything about anything. What's the approach you're going to have with someone that is like that?
First thing is we're just going to greet you when you come in, mm-hmm. see if you need help. That's a great chance. Hey, I'm trying to figure out what's even going on with this industry, right?
I want to carry, but I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell us that. Tell us that straight up, right up front. Like I said, that's going to help us figure out exactly where we're at in this discussion and in this plan of action a lot faster. Right. Tell us that. Be forward about it. We're happy to show you anything and everything. I mean, I'll walk you through all the different types of platforms of handguns if you want to do that. If you don't care, that's cool too. We can talk about a little more conceptual stuff, like, hey, why would you want to carry? You might not even decide you want a gun yet, right?
Right.
Why would you have one? Why would you care? Hey, we'll have that discussion too. That's not a problem. And it's not going to be a shouting match where if we disagree, right? We're not going to get on to you. happy to share our opinions and beliefs and listen to yours as well. So, there's no level in which you've got to reach before you can come in and we're happy to help you or able to help you, right? And we've had everything from expert shooters, been doing all their lives, tier one operators and everything else, to people that literally cannot stand in the showroom without crying because they're scared so much of guns.
Yeah.
Everywhere in between. And we're happy to help anyone, right? We want everyone to be safe. We want everyone to be protected and taken care of. And that's everyone, not just, operators or law enforcement, right? It's every person out there. So
okay, 3 minutes left. I had two questions I wanted to ask you about. Number one was, so I saw the picture of the Olympic, the guy that won the shooting competition or medaled. He had one hand in his pocket and he's shooting one-handed, and I'm like, that's not really the way I was taught. How is he able to do that? That seems pretty phenomenal.
Practice.
Yeah.
It may not be the ideal way to do things for the competition. But depending on how you were trained to shoot, how you tend to shoot, might make more sense. Who knows? And like I said, everyone's different. So with like Marine Corps, I was a coach for a while. You had certain doctrinal ways you were supposed to shoot. We start there. But if things aren't working, let's try something else. If what works best for you is different than what works for the majority, which is why it's doctrine, cool. Why not do that? If it makes you more effective, why not? There's no reason not to.
I remember a coach once, and he was talking about a quarterback he had on his team. He said, man, he's got a funky delivery, but he delivers.
But it works.
And I was like, well, so are you going to try to fix his delivery? He's like, why in the world would I change his delivery when he's successful at what he does?
Right. So, if it's working.
Yeah.
Right. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
All right, minute and a half. I want to ask about the whole Donald Trump, this crooks guy trying to take out Donald Trump. It seems like mistakes were made, especially the clearing of high ground around where the former president was giving his speech. What are your thoughts on that whole thing? And you have a minute and a half.
Yeah, only a minute and a half?
Yeah.
Site security was a pretty strong portion of what my unit did. There is no way in the world that would have been not only not constantly observed, but there would have been somebody on the rooftop for sure. That was a very hot, high priority target for that. As far as a security perspective, there's no way. I mean, no way. Like legitimately manpower on top of the roof, not just staring at it. I don't want to say too much as far as like, you know, you know how people are, but that was such a blatantly obvious spot that it's like.
So somebody said, and I don't know if this has been confirmed, but that they didn't take the guy up because they weren't sure that he was an unfriendly. They weren't positive yet. And that's why they didn't take him out before the shot was taken.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. granted, it is stateside and there are civilians around. However, Secret Service especially, they get a lot of leeway on stuff on the protection side. There is no, even if guns are legal there is no environment in which being in a setting like that and crawling around on a roof with a rifle is going to be kosher.
I agree.
David
Romer, expert advice here. You can find him over at Modern Warriors. You want to go say hi to Dave sometime, stop by and say, hey, I heard you on the radio, man.
I apologize for subjecting you to that. So.
Thank you, David, for your expertise today.
Oh,
really
no
appreciate it.
Great
and
to hear.
Congratulations to Mardine, winner of the tickets to the theater and Beauty and the Beast. I'm Andy Griffin. Celeste Malloy, congresswoman, will be here tomorrow.